Good morning. Welcome to Broad Ministries. Let's shift our minds away from the issues of life and focus on the message from God, the Holy Spirit. We come to Bible study for renewing, to allow God, the Holy Spirit, to guide us by the truth and the Word of God, so we can know the plan of God the Father, the compassion of His Son, and the amazing sacrifice of the uniquely born one, the Lord Jesus Christ. And it's just amazing how many people come today for my lesson. I mean, what, we got like 30, 40 people here. Pastor's really going to be mad when he finds out how many people came for my lesson. So anyway, as believers, we know the good news already. Faith alone and Christ alone is the irrevocable ticket to salvation. God did and is still doing all the work on behalf of each one of you. The ghetto boy from Nazareth took care of salvation on the cross and the subsequent renovation of our soul. Our free will gives us tremendous power, and when we decide to be obedient to the plan of God, that power becomes divine. The fact that you're watching or listening shows that you want to take full advantage of your position in Christ. It's time to focus your mindset by concentrating on God rather than self. So where is your soul tuned? We see this slide each week, but I think we need to think about it every day. This slide should flash through our mind each morning, because your soul is guaranteed to encounter counterfeit truths. Alcohol, drugs, sex, TV, iPhones, iPads, Androids, tablets, radio, movies, football, video games, all these things bombard our souls on a daily basis. They're constantly vying for our attention. It's crazy to think there are about 1,500 newspapers, 1,100 magazines, 9,000 some radio stations, 1,500 TV stations, and 2,400 major publishers. That's over 15,000 companies trying to steal your focus. And it's interesting because those companies are all owned by about three corporations. We need to remember to tune our soul to God, to WGOD, as much as possible. So where is your soul tuned? Romans 12:2, "And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, so that you may prove that the will of God is that which is good and acceptable and perfect." We see in 2 Peter 3:17, "You therefore, beloved, knowing this beforehand, be on guard, so that you are not carried away by the errors of unprincipled men and fall from your own steadfastness. That's hard to say. Anyway, let me scroll back to that. Van, will you put that image back up for me? Now, I'll admit that boombox image may be a little misleading. I mean, it has a tape player on it. The teenagers probably don't even know what that is, while the more distinguished ones most likely see it as a nuisance. Well, that boombox represents all electronic devices in our lives. For me, it's the phone first thing, then the radio in the truck on the way to work. Then at work, the iPod and my earbuds. Well, I can spend the day listening to music on Pandora or listening to podcasts from BroadMinistries.com. I choose to orient and adjust to the transmissions from God. So thank you for turning off SportsCenter or Call of Duty or even your tape player and tuning in to BroadMinistries.com. Let's begin the study with some music as you fix your mind on the lesson from God the Holy Spirit and away from the world. The first song is "Lose My Soul" by Toby Mac.
I was just a young boy. On the back of my daddy's real estate business card were the words, "What does it profit a man to gain the whole world and lose his soul?" I can't say I knew what it meant back then, y'all, but I sure do now. Father God, I am clay in your hands. I want to stay that way through all life's demands, because they chip and they nag and they pull at me, and every little thing I make up my mind to be. Like, I'm gonna be a daddy who's in the mix, and I'm gonna be a husband who stays legit, and I pray that I'm an artist who rises above the road that is wide and filled with self-love. Everything that I see draws me.
though it's only in you that I can truly see that it's a feast for the eyes, a low blow to purpose, and I'm a little kid in a three-ring circus.
It's not what you do. True, we get it twisted when we think at the top. But yo, before you part from the start, where's your heart? You a pimp, a hustler, tell me what your title. America got no more stars, now we call them idols. You sit idle as we teach prosperity. The first thing the problem should be inside of me. Not because of 22s on the range, but Christ came in range. We say yes, now we change it. Not the same, even though I had a fall. Since I made that call, no more song, no more call, yeah.
Welcome back. So let's open in prayer. We're grateful, Heavenly Father, for the privilege of studying the absolute truth, the Word of God. Thank you for making us your possession, because I know that no one will treat us better than you. Thank you for using real, broken, and imperfect people to accomplish your perfect plan. Help us to use your unconditional love every day of our lives, starting with others, but remembering to include ourselves. I pray that you continue to give strength and alleviate pain to those working through health issues. Remind them that they are not alone because you know them by name. We ask this through the power of God, the Holy Spirit, in Christ's name. Amen. Welcome to Barah Ministries. We're pursuing truth from the Word of God from the Bible. My name is Deacon Denny Goodall, and you're listening to Lesson 20 of the Roman series. Welcome to a ministry designed for people who want to develop a deep, intimate, and personal relationship with the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Welcome to a place where you can let your guard down because the Lord Jesus Christ is God. The Bible is His infallible word and His exact thinking. A book with no errors, with no contradictions, with no lies. The Bible is truth. Welcome to a place where you can receive the word of God. There is no better guide for our lives. Unfortunately, I have bad news. I recently found out that it's too late to accomplish our salvation. Yep, too late. There's nothing you can do. No matter what you do, you can never satisfy the perfect righteousness of God. But the good news is that the Lord Jesus Christ already took care of your salvation. He simply lived a sinless life, died spiritually on the cross, was resurrected, and ascended to heaven so that we can, through faith, have an eternal relationship with Him. We see in Romans 6, chapter 6, verses 4 through 5, "Therefore we have been buried with Him through baptism in death, into death, so that as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of God the Father, so we might too walk in the newness of life. For if we have become united with Him in the likeness of His death, certainly we shall also be in the likeness of His resurrection." I really like the New Living Translation of these verses. "For we died and were buried with Christ by baptism. And just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glorious power of the Father, now we also may live new lives." So, you find yourself in another weekend where our gracious pastor is taking a well-deserved vacation. After preparing a couple of these lessons now, I truly understand how emotional you can get reading the truth of the Bible. I realize how draining it can be trying to stay focused on your main message. It is clear to me that our pastor works very hard for God and His sheep. What I'm getting at is that these lessons can be taxing for numerous reasons. There are so many good verses to use. There are so many suitable and worthy topics. Focus becomes difficult. You can easily start chasing rabbits just to satisfy your curiosity and lose sight of what your objective is for the lesson. So mahalo, Pastor, and enjoy the beach. So let's get going with today's lesson. Oops, where'd I go here? Today's study, an apple a day keeps the doctor away. I was thinking about my focus. It's funny that Deacon Elliot raised this thought earlier. I was thinking about what my focus used to be during my daily Bible study. I can remember a time where I was obsessed with the intake of Bible doctrine, but my focus was academic. I wasn't building a relationship with God. I never really asked any extra questions about the study. Nope, just check the box and feel good because I had listened that day. Like Elliot said, I'm part of an invisible pivot protecting America by listening in my nice living room. But did I really hear anything if I didn't apply it? Did I really believe God if I never told anyone about Him? I mean, generally when you believe in something, you tell others about it, like recommending good food or a dentist you trust. I think my study had turned into building knowledge in a defensive manner. An apple a day will keep the doctor away. A study a day will keep the devil away. I was learning just to protect and support myself. I mean, don't get me wrong, I would always hope and pray for those around me. I would witness to friends and family, but never really anybody outside of that group. You could say I was just learning in order to prove myself rather than living in Christ in order for Him to prove me. So is that how a Christian should live? The light of the world stuck trying to learn but not share the learning? Getting to know God and not introducing others? Well, Pastor Rory helped me to step out of the box. He pushed me to ask more questions, reread my notes, and really contemplate what the Word of God was saying during the study to the believer. See, I was stuck in a misconception. I was caught in a mistaken belief or a false impression. An apple a day does not actually keep the doctor away. Ask my stepdad Mike or my friend Norbert. I'm sure they've had their share of apples over the course of their lives, yet both of them are seeing a little too much of doctors lately. My friend Rory helped me to see that the Zoe life is not simply an academic pursuit, but a time to be fishers of men. God gives us the knowledge and the logistical grace to spread the gospel to the glory of the Christ. God used Rory to open my eyes to the importance of people and relationships. And I want to open eyes as well. I want to help believers to live Zoe life without limits, and for unbelievers to challenge their way of thinking and investigate the truth. Both groups need to give an honest hearing. The believer in Christ needs to focus on God and not life. They need to listen to their pastor and check it out. Really think about it. The so what? Ask questions. How does this help them when life seems to be a train wreck? And in the case of the unbeliever, an honest hearing is tuning in more than once. Your comfort zone will be challenged, and your feelings will most likely get hurt. Just remember that the Bible is the Word of God. What you're hearing is absolute truth, not the opinions of man. Well, lately my mind has been focused on misconceptions. God has me focused on the misconceptions of life. Just like me studying to hold the Word of God rather than spread it, there are just so many publicly held fallacies in life. We have historical ones, to personal ones, to religious ones, to ones about Christianity. We often become a product of our environment because of the misconceptions that we hold. Misconceptions that we never even investigate. We just accept things as facts. When you think of Vikings, what picture comes to mind? The helmet with the horns, right? Well, there's no evidence that they wore such helmets. The image actually stems from a production of an 1876 opera, but never checked it out. Or how about Cinco de Mayo? It's a popular day for parties and celebration here in Arizona. It's the Mexican Independence Day, right? Actually, no, it's not. It's really the celebration of the Mexican Army's victory over the French in the Battle of Puebla on May 5th, 1862. The Mexican Independence Day from Spain is celebrated on September 16th. But most people think it's Cinco de Mayo. Here's a good one. Who knows what the word sushi means? Most people say raw fish, right? Well, they would be wrong. The real definition is sour rice. Who knew? Lastly, like bats are blind, right? They only use echolocation to fly around. That's actually false. Bats actually have fairly normal eyesight, although they are very photosensitive and often dazzled by excessive light. However, bats do often use echolocation in situations where their eyesight fails them, such as times of darkness. Don't believe me? Look it up yourself. It only takes a 10-minute search to gain tremendous knowledge of a subject. So you can investigate the Word of God, and it fortifies your knowledge of God. I think Pastor is a genius for telling us how he studies the Bible. He welcomes our inspection of the Word. He learns from us as we learn from him. In Matthew 22:29, the Lord Jesus Christ reminds us that misunderstanding the Bible causes us to be mistaken. But Jesus answered and said to them, "You are mistaken, not understanding the Scriptures, nor the power of God." 2 Timothy reinforces the need for the Word of God and its ability to correct our misconceptions. We see in 2 Timothy 3:16, "All Scriptures are inspired by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, for training in righteousness, so that the man of God may be adequate and equipped for every good work." There are so many misconceptions that surround us, fallacies about self, others, cops, presidents, locals, foreigners, pit bulls, races, genders. I can keep going. Paul, David, relationships, church, God, Christianity, religion, love, and the Lord Jesus Christ. All these things have distortions that exist in public debate. There are just too many to discuss or even count them all. Misconceptions affect unbelievers and believers both. Just because you're a believer doesn't mean that you have it all figured out or that you have all the knowledge. That's not really the worst part, though. The worst part is that we just sit idly by and let ourselves become a product of history rather than influencing it. So I have mentioned some historical misconceptions, but those don't really affect you when you lie waiting for a surgery or sit impatiently wondering in a waiting room. I want to focus on misconceptions about the Bible and Christianity. People all too often judge churches, Christians, and even God by the actions of a few. You see, we can't control people's perceptions, but we can influence them. We have to be mindful of our actions, what we say, what we do, who we decide to be around. Misconceptions of who and what Christians are supposed to be leads to misconceptions of who and what God is. So before I get into the real good examples, let's take a 5-minute break and listen to Strong Tower by Cutlass.
You are my strong tower, fortress with
So, welcome back. I've been talking about misconceptions of life. I went through a couple of historical myths that most people simply hear and believe. Well, I want us to fact check. I want to open our eyes to the fact that a lost and dying world is clawing at our souls. This world wants to think for us. Or even better, have us just stare at TV and don't think at all. It's funny because Pastor often says, how can a kid sit and play video games endlessly, but when it comes to learning about God, they can't sit still for 10 minutes? Well, I love video games, and I'm that person. So it hits pretty close to home. Now, I only play a fraction of the time I used to play, but I could sit and play all day if I had time. Well, how would that wasted day of games help me when I find out a friend's sister is being committed to a mental institution? Or when a coworker has to deal with a tumor on his spine? I would have nothing to say. Nothing in my soul. The Lord Jesus Christ needs to be at the forefront of our thought process. Let's be on guard and give God to people by telling them what the Bible says about the obstacles of life. Well, let's see some misconceptions from this world. I hear people say that God is a mystery and that you can't really know God. Oh yeah? The Bible says otherwise. We see in Romans 1:20, for since the creation of the world, his invisible attributes, his eternal power and divine nature have been clearly seen, being understood through what has been seen has been made, so that they are without excuse. Well, that one's pretty clear to me. Another one I get is, you need to go to church. You need to be in a holy building. Maybe they're right. There are a lot of church buildings out there. I mean, we don't even have a building. Okay, well, let me check the Bible. 1 Corinthians 6, verse 19 says, do you not know that your body is a temple of God the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have from God, and that you are not of your own? Oh, and then there's Ephesians 1, verse 4. Just as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we would be holy and blameless before him in love. So I'm a temple of the Holy Spirit, and I'm holy and blameless. What was that about a holy building again? Or ask someone about David from the Bible. Who was he? What did he do? You get, oh yeah, David faced a giant without armor and killed him with a slingshot. He's a role model for us all. But we know this. We know there's more to David the man. Just as Deacon Caleb said, he was also an adulterer and a murderer. He had feet of clay. We can see them in 2 Samuel 11, verses 14 through 15. I think Caleb covered this one too. Now in the morning, David wrote a letter to Joab and sent it by hand to Uriah. He had written in the letter saying, place Uriah in the front line of the fiercest battle and withdraw from him, so that he may be struck down and die. He even wrote a letter about killing him. He didn't just have him killed. He wrote a letter and thought about it for a while and gave it to the person and followed through. The very same David is having someone killed. He thinks the death of Uriah can be a fig leaf to cover his poor decisions. You see, misconceptions are everywhere. How about something more close to home? What about misconceptions about a pastor? They're always being maligned, mistrusted, and gossiped about. Yet no one ever seeks out the truth. They just sit idly by on the misconception. What about our Pastor Rory? He's an open book. He lives the Lord Jesus Christ. Yeah, I said he lives. When you love something, you live it. My Pastor Rory loves the Lord Jesus Christ, and they both love you. We can get in touch with him through email or phone. Very easy. We can squash any misconceptions. But do we? Well, there's another often heard misconception as well. Aren't pastors supposed to be married? Single or married, but not divorced, right? They can't really be a man of God and be a casualty of marriage, can they? Well, I have a question back. How can people even ask that after learning about Paul's resume? As we learned from Caleb, most biblical role models were some hardcore scumbags at a time in their life. These times were always when the soul was tuned away from WGOD and onto KCOS. So my final example is the best, the Lord Jesus Christ, our rock, He's attacked day and night around the globe. Misconceptions abound for the Lord. Only the Bible can clear up any questions. The Lord Jesus Christ has given us the Bible as a gift. It's a gift of sight. When we accept and open that gift, we can see into His mind through the Word of God. Some religions say that Jesus was not the Savior. They say He was not God. They think He was just a prophet. Well, let's check the Bible. John 10, verses 29 through 30. My Father, who has given them to me, the Lord Jesus Christ, is greater than all, and no one is able to snatch them out of my hand. I and the Father are one. Or one that I didn't have a slide for, but Colossians 2, verse 9. For in Him, the Lord Jesus Christ, all the fullness of deity dwells in bodily form. Jesus asserts His deity all over the Bible. There is no real debate. Yet people still challenge the fact all the time. The attacks are relentless. Let's talk about a misconception about life events. We make a plan or a timeline, and when it doesn't go the way we plan, we blame God or we blame ourselves. Life gets messy for a reason. It happens so we can use God and His Word. We see in Isaiah 40, verse 31, yet those who wait for the Lord will gain new strength. They will mount up with wings like eagles. They will run and not get tired. They will walk and not become weary. Think of the misconceptions of rebound. We were all caught up in that one. But unlike the Lord's Supper, where the Bible calls for us to keep on doing this in remembrance of me, there aren't any verses that say that about rebound. So, one last example I had is a guy at work came up to me and tried to use the Bible against me. He pulled out Mark 1, verse 17. And Jesus said to them, follow me and I will make you fishers of men. And he first said this to me, I didn't know what he was talking about. I'm like, well, what's your point? It's a good verse. It's kind of a cool, interesting verse. He thought it was that Jesus pulled people aside and talked to them privately to each person. You see, he doesn't like the fact that I freely talk about God in front of groups. He sees the fishermen like you and I fishing with a pole and a single line, one-on-one in a private manner. I use my Bible app to check out the full chapter so he couldn't take it out of context. And it's kind of funny because if you look at the very next verse, Mark 1, verse 18 says, immediately they left their nets and followed him. These guys were not amateur line fishermen. The kind of fishing envisioned in the text was not line fishing, but net fishing. These guys were using nets. They were going for a lot of fish. They were fishing for a lot of people. Sometimes multi-line nets required even many men organized for common objectives. Fishermen would stand on the shore and repeatedly cast their nets into the water or drop their nets from a boat. In Matthew 4, the nets used were tossed from the shoreline. The occupation of fishermen was a labor-intensive occupation. The imagery of using a lure and line and waiting for the fish to strike is thus foreign to this text. Jesus is not speaking about finesse like fly fishing or using the right kind of bait. The imagery has nothing to do with hooking the unbeliever with the gospel. The picture is not individualistic. The point is not one person being reeled in at a time. These guys were pulling in a lot of fish at once. The imagery of fishermen involved much strain, long hours, and often little results. Jesus was probably emphasizing net fishing is a labor-intensive, requiring persistence and dedication in spite of minimal results sometimes. The fishers of men most certainly used to fish big and out loud because they may perhaps be snatching people from judgment. The fish would be caught so as to remove them from the eternal flames of hell and to give them a new life. Look at what fishermen do to their catch. They would cover, protect, and preserve it. They would keep it at its highest and best, just like our God does for us. Biblical imagery is rather rich sometimes, but it is often different from what our preconceived notions are. This lesson points out the need to read the Bible carefully and think through the correspondences and the figurative language embedded in that text. This, of course, requires an understanding of the historical context. A good Bible dictionary will often be very useful in this endeavor. When we study the Scripture this way, it will often be like reading a Bible for the first time. When we first learn the truth, we fish with a pole. But when we live the Word of God, we fish with nets. We can cast a larger pool of water and have more effect in this lost and dying world. So after a little extra research, with Google on my phone, I understand more clearly what the Lord meant by fishers of men, and the Bible silenced the debate. I hope that I have opened some eyes out there, because misconceptions are serious, because they're subtle. They sneak up and take hold. They slow down and distract you. The truth will set you free and help you live Zoe without limits, and then challenge your way of thinking and investigate what you hear. The believer in Christ needs to focus on God and not life. Listen to their pastor and then check it out. Think about it and use it. Put it to the test. Your comfort zone will be challenged and your feelings will most likely get hurt. But just remember, the Bible is the mind of Christ. You're here because you want to know what the Bible says about life, and you know it's the perfect guidebook to use. Truth is freedom. Truth is clear. I've already said this once, but for since the creation of the world, His invisible attributes, His eternal power and divine nature, have been clearly seen, being understood through that which has been made, so that they are without excuse. It shows the way to live the highest and best life you can. You can live the Zoe life now and for eternity. So I think still eating an apple a day is a good policy, but just do some research. Some other vegetables and less sweets will help you keep the doctor away. Less sweets. So let's hear our closing song and remember that when we use God's love, it will never fail. So let's close with our closing verses. For who has known the mind of the Lord that he will instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. For in him all the fullness of deity dwells in bodily form, and in him you have been made complete, and he is the head over all in authority. Thus says the Lord your Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel, I am the Lord your God, who teaches you to profit, who lead you in the way you should go. And you shall love your Lord God with your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind and with all your strength. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is from God. And everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. The one who does not love does not know God, for God is unconditional love. By this love of God was manifested in us, that God has sent his only begotten Son into the world so that we might live through him. Knowing that he who raised the Lord Jesus Christ will raise us up also with Jesus and will present us with you. For all things are for your sakes, so that the grace which is spreading to more and more people may cause the giving of thanks to abound to the glory of God. Let me close in prayer. Father in heaven, thank you for having an absolute and unrestricted love for us all. Thank you for loving us no matter what we have done or will do. And thank you for loving us even when we forget to love ourselves. I pray that you continue to shock and amaze the doctors by healing our sheep faster than their percentages had projected. And we pray that you continue to shape the messages from this pulpit that are an accurate reflection of your person, your thinking, your work, your reputation, and your essence. We ask this through the power of God, the Holy Spirit, and in Christ's name, amen. Thank you for coming, thank you for watching, thank you for listening, and thank you for giving.